Welcome to the second coaching support session for your 5-day carb cleanse. I'm Karen Wolf, and Deb Kern is here with me.
Hello.
Hi, Deb. And today's topic is food and mood. I'd like to just start with some background science behind how food affects your mood. One of the things I always like to say is that food is one of the biggest drugs we put in our body. And everything we take into our body has the potential to affect our chemistry or our biochemistry of our brain and our body. So food affects our biochemistry. And we're going to talk a lot about that today to help you understand in fairly simple terms the impact of the food we put in our body and how we feel. So part of that is understanding a little bit about neurotransmitters, and I promise we are not going to get so detailed. One of the things I always like to tell people is I failed biochemistry in medical school and really had no meaning for me. So here am I talking about serotonin and beta endorphins. It's like, wow, it's quite a surprise. But what I found in my own life, and we will be sharing our own personal stories on this journey with you, this understanding at this level really helped me understand my own sugar sensitivity and understand how eating the right foods at the right time can help me with my concentration, my energy, and how I feel and my mood. So it's really, really helpful to get this basic understanding of neurotransmitters. And we're actually going to highlight two in particular, and that is serotonin and beta endorphins. There are a lot of neurotransmitters that we actually know about, but the ones that are most relevant to you and me as we transform our body's metabolism by stabilizing blood sugars are serotonin and beta endorphin. And Deb's going to explain to you a little bit about why these two are so significant to us.
So, in fact, you know, Karen, people here, I think people have heard of those two, serotonin. You hear about serotonin a lot because that's what some medications are. They're called SSRIs. You and I have talked about that, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And you might have heard about beta endorphin. You know, they call endorphins the runner's high. You know, I never got it running, actually. Running, I don't get it. But dancing or walking long distances, that endorphin that we rush that we get from exercise. So I just wanted to kind of put it in everyday language that we do hear about serotonin and we do hear about endorphin. And the thing that I think pretty much everyone knows is that they have something to do with our mood, how good we might feel. I just wanted to be a little bit more specific about these two particular neurochemicals. Serotonin, when a person has the optimal amount of serotonin in their bodies, and I also want to be clear, we make it ourselves. The body makes its own serotonin. The body makes its own beta endorphins. And so when your body is making the proper amount for you, optimal amount of serotonin, then you feel hopeful and optimistic. When you wake up in the morning, you're just like ready to go for the day, very hopeful. And it also affects your ability to concentrate, be focused and creative and think things through. It also affects even what you're hungry for. When you have optimal levels of serotonin, you're pretty much hungry for a variety of different foods. You might enjoy dessert or sweets, but there's no emotional charge. So you know those people. They're the people who see the big dessert bar, and they pick two or three because they're just curious, and they have a bite because they really enjoy the bite. And that's it. They're done.
It's amazing as that seems.
It's amazing, right? Amazing, those people. So that's when you have optimal serotonin. When you don't have enough serotonin available to you in your brain and body, then the feelings that you have are more depressed. You're not able to concentrate as well. So you're blocked or scattered or have a short attention span or impulsive. And emotionally, you might even feel yourself like sort of flying off the handle. You have that feeling like, why'd I do that? But you fly off the handle. And interestingly, when you don't have enough serotonin available, you will crave mostly simple carbohydrates and sweets, but not necessarily just sweets. Simple carbs like pastas, bread, bagel, and cookies and candies, anything that spikes the body's blood sugar. And there's a reason for that, and I'll tell you about that reason in a moment after I talk about beta endorphin. Beta endorphin is the other neurotransmitter we'll be highlighting. And when you have enough beta endorphin, it's also a good feeling, but it's a little bit different. I like to call beta endorphin is almost like the self-esteem chemical. And serotonin is kind of the happy chemical. They do more than that, but in general, beta endorphin does give you a sense of self-esteem, higher self-esteem. It also modulates your pain tolerance, your ability to tolerate either emotional or physical pain. So when people have high levels of beta endorphin, they have higher pain tolerance. They're sensitive to others, but they're not overwhelmed by other people's feelings. They have a high sense of self-esteem. They feel connected to other people, compassionate, also hopeful and optimistic. That's something in common with serotonin. And also in common with serotonin, they have a take-it-or-leave-it attitude towards sweets. When someone has a low level of beta endorphin, I think that the two right up front things you notice, a lower pain tolerance, and that's both emotional and physical pain. So a lower emotional pain tolerance means that when you are around other people who are in pain, you feel their pain so much that you really can't move forward in your life. You're really overly sensitive. And we know what it means to have low physical pain tolerance. The other thing is not enough beta endorphin will make you feel less self-esteem and more isolated. So you might be in a social gathering. There are a lot of people, but you don't feel like you're connected. You feel actually isolated around them and a feeling of hopelessness and depressed and a craving for simple carbohydrates, sugars and simple carbohydrates. So the thing to take home from this is, several things. One is, beta endorphins and serotonin are natural to our bodies. Our bodies make them in the ideal conditions, which we'll talk about. And there's some link between sugars or simple carbohydrates and low levels of beta endorphin and serotonin. And Karen's going to talk to you more about that, but what I want to let you know is that when people crave the sweets because of having low levels of serotonin and beta endorphins, what happens is the simple carbohydrates spike the blood sugar, and that causes a temporary sort of like a hit on those receptor sites and sort of like an artificial hit of serotonin and beta endorphin, so you temporarily feel better. And I think you'll understand more how that fits into what's happening in your bodies right now. But Karen, would you talk a little bit more about how stress and sugar and in general go together?
Sure, yeah. You know, when you said that about an artificial hit, sounds like a drug to me.
Mm-hmm.
When so these simple sugars give your neurotransmitters this artificial stimulation and you get, whoa, it's like a quick fix and you know where to go back. So one of the reasons it has such a profound effect is that chronic stress decreases our natural production of serotonin and beta endorphin. So we actually, our bodies are very wisely designed, and we do have a natural production of serotonin, beta endorphin. But with the lifestyle we lead and the chronic stress, we're not talking about the fight or flight stress that we say get out of the way of someone in a traffic jam and on we go. It's this chronic stress that goes on and on and on. So the stresses of working longer hours or cutbacks at work, so we have to do more with less, and it goes on and on and on. And what's happening is our natural reserves of serotonin, beta endorphin are depleted. So no wonder we have, as a culture, are serotonin depleted, and no wonder as a culture we crave simple carbohydrates, because it's a simple way for our bodies to get that serotonin fix. So this is a science or an understanding that I came to, and thank you to Kathleen DeMaison. Kathleen, I've met a few times now at different conferences, and she has a website, radiantrecovery.com, and it's a really good resource. So it's radiant like the sun, R-A-D-I-N-T, radiantrecovery.com, and it's in your ebook. And she really enlightened me to this understanding of if I can naturally balance my serotonin, beta, endorphin on a regular basis throughout the day, then it can help me with my carbohydrate cravings. So I actually, as odd as it might sound, I monitor my serotonin levels every day. So all those things Deb talked about, when my serotonin is balanced, I know that I can enjoy sweets and then that's it. But if I'm unbalanced, I'm in a craving mode. So it really helps me understand where I am with my serotonin. And I actually did not realize I had this issue until after I had my daughter Kelsey and I had postpartum depression. My first experience of depression in my life was after I had Kelsey and I had a C-section, so I really was for a longer time not able to do my normal lifestyle things that I do, like exercising every day. And I felt this flatness. I call it my dark cloud. And I really came to understand that there are certain lifestyle things I do every day that helps me elevate my mood and helps me stay in balance. And because I was an athlete in my younger years as a competitive swimmer, then that also, as exercise, has such a profound effect on increasing serotonin. So every day, some of the things I do, I'm lucky I live in Southern California, so sunshine is available pretty much every day, and sunshine helps boost serotonin. One of the things that we know about is seasonal affective disorder, SAD, that happens more in the northern states where there is not sunshine all through the year. It's due to depletion of serotonin, and then you can use those light bulbs that have full spectrum light. So sunshine is a way I boost my serotonin. Exercise every day, it's a part of my day, and I usually try and begin my day with that because I really feel that boost. It helps my concentration, helps my focus, helps my mood, all those things for optimal serotonin. And then friendships, that connection with other people that I really care about, friendships help boost serotonin. And then pleasure in the senses. One of the things I love is massages, and whenever I'm feeling like a little out of balance, I think about, okay, body work, massage, that'll be a really good thing for me. Or I pick flowers from the garden and I really enjoy the sense of smell. Or I go out for a walk and really enjoy nature and all its the senses that are stimulated that way. And then my big key, the thing that's probably helped me more than anything else, because again, food is the biggest drug you put in your body. When I have protein and complex carbs with every meal, so one of the worst breakfasts you can have, and I know we've talked about this before, but it's worth repeating, the worst breakfast is orange juice and a bagel. There's no protein to be found, and you need protein to make serotonin. So protein with breakfast, it could be cottage cheese, it could be nuts, it could be eggs, it could be egg whites, and vegetables, and a piece of fruit, and protein for lunch and dinner. So protein and complex carbs with every meal. Now, if you are interested in the science, and we do have this on the ebook, so our job is not to go into all the science of why protein and complex carbs are so essential, but we highly recommend RadiantRecovery.com as a resource for you to understand more of this science.
And I was just thinking, Karen, as you were speaking, you were saying, you know, the worst breakfast, I would say the second worst breakfast or the equally worst breakfast would be no breakfast at all.
Oh, right, yes. I thought you were going to say cereal because that's
pretty much bad, too.
It was just because I
think a lot of people who are doing this five-day carb cleanse, I know for me that was my previous breakfast. Prior to really understanding what we're talking about today, I would skip breakfast. And for a lot of reasons, I actually wasn't hungry because I was eating late at night, of course, because that was my time for eating simple carbs. That's how I would sort of self-medicate my feelings of nervousness, and that would numb me, basically. That's how I realized that's how my sugar sensitivity shows up at night. Then I wouldn't be hungry in the morning. Of course, I would wake up and my blood sugar would be dropped so low, and I have a lot of cortisol. And I thought I was doing myself a favor. And so I would say that's the other worst breakfast, is no breakfast. And it's why these shakes are so helpful even to me now, because when I wake up, and my son is the same way, so maybe, I don't know, maybe it's how some people just are. Neither one of us, my son nor myself, are hungry in the morning till around much later, but we both need to get going. So we have a shake every morning because it's a great way for us to get that complex carb, protein, and essential fatty acid, and it doesn't feel overwhelming to eat that in the morning.
And it is great for kids because so many kids are going off to school at super early hours and missing breakfast, and this is
a way that we can really get that. Yeah. You know, we're up at 5:30 and out the door at 6:30, and it's just hard to be hungry then. But considering, especially for him, he goes straight into basketball practice for 2 hours, he needs something, and it's a great thing. So I just was thinking about that. Worst breakfast.
Yes.
Yeah. So why are we talking about this now? Especially we have timed this. We mentioned it to you in the last session. Make sure you listen to this by day three. And hopefully you're listening to it even before day three so that you're even prepared. But by day three, you very well may be feeling the effects of this in your body. And that's because if prior to doing this carb cleanse, if you had been eating anywhere near the standard American diet, which in just inherent in the standard American diet is spiking and dropping of blood sugar, then what has happened to you is that every time your blood sugar spikes, there is that artificial hit, if you will, on the serotonin and beta endorphin receptor sites, which you may have noticed. You kind of feel kind of temporarily better, but then when your blood sugar drops, you feel not so good again. And if you have been spiking and dropping your blood sugar continually like that, the body then responds by shutting down receptor sites to serotonin and beta endorphin. It's an interesting phenomena, but it's the same way, it's the same process as if when someone starts taking a medication for a long period of time, say a pain medication. At first it works, but then they need more of it to have the same effect. Same thing happens with sugars, simple carbs. At first it works, it makes you feel better, but over time you need more of the same substance to feel good.
It sounds like a drug.
You need more of it.
Yeah.
Sugar acts the same way as a drug, and the addictive cycle is the same as a drug. And what's interesting is as a culture, you know, this entire culture is a hyper-vigilant culture, meaning we stand in a stress-poised position. When you fly at the airport, there's all these checkpoints and code orange, hyper-vigilant, and that chronic stress has placed the entire culture in a place of starting to crave sweets to feel better and then shutting down receptor sites and needing more, which is why we've supersized everything, supersized soft drinks and everything, because we need more to feel the same hit. But you are breaking that pattern. That's what this five-day carb cleanse is. You're breaking the stress sugar cycle. And so congratulations. That is a huge step for your health. However, in the process, there is sort of, it may feel a little bit like a speed bump, because what's happened is, having followed the standard American diet, you have shut down some receptor sites. That's A. B, you have been depending on sugars to feel good, and your body has not been producing its own serotonin and beta endorphins to its optimal level because you haven't been giving it the proper raw ingredients, which are, as Karen mentioned, a protein and a complex carbohydrate every time you eat. Probably you've been having more carbs, not as much proteins. And so in the beginning of this process of transforming all of your body's chemistry and your metabolism, there is a little lag time for your body to kind of catch up. So in these first 3 days, you've been keeping your blood sugar very steady, which is very healing, and your body has already started responding. But by keeping your blood sugar steady, you're not getting that hit of blood sugar that makes you temporarily feel good. And it takes, your body hasn't quite started making its own serotonin and beta endorphin yet. So in the meantime, there may be 3, 4, or 5 days. I've rarely seen it last longer than a week. The longest I've seen someone really stay in this in-between phase has been a week. Everyone is different. Everyone is different, so I just want you to know that. But there is this time period where you may feel the effects of low serotonin and low beta endorphin before your body kicks in and start making its own. And remember what they are. That's sort of a depressed feeling, maybe being more tearful or a lower pain tolerance, and a feeling of isolation. If you're having those feelings, please know that it's absolutely normal. It's part of the process of switching over from needing an outside source to feel good to having your body make its own. It's just really part of the process. And everyone's different. I personally was, when I did a 5-day carb cleanse, I felt this way pretty much on early in day 3. And honest to goodness, by day 4, I was flying high as a kite. My body transitioned, and I had been definitely spiking and dropping my blood sugars. Everyone's different. Some people never feel this way. Some people feel this way a little later. And I would also say that I'm more sensitive when I'm under more stress. A lot has to do with how much stress you're under. So, but what we do is we recommend that everything that Karen was talking about, and it's in the ebook. So if you're feeling this way, you can speed up the process to get feeling better by giving yourself all of the things that help your body make serotonin and beta endorphin, like daily movement, the something you love, sunshine, meditation, prayer, guided imagery. We have great resources in our ebook for guided imagery CDs that we love. Sleep. And Karen gives lectures around the country about sleep. You want to talk a little bit about sleep?
Yes, we mentioned sleep in that first coaching call of how important sleep is. I actually mentioned an essential element of this program.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is it for the repair and regeneration we talked about in the previously, but also sleep regenerates serotonin and many other neurotransmitters. But when we are sleep deprived, you yet again give ourselves the chance to be depleted with serotonin. So sleep helps specifically this area of serotonin. And interestingly, the darker the room, the more you generate serotonin. So sleep is an essential component of this whole process of balancing our serotonin.
Right. Thank you. And, you know, when you say that, Karen, there's a link right there with postpartum depression. Because when you have your new infant and you're not sleeping through the night. So there's so many things you can see here that really can link into that particular serotonin depletion. The other things are, just we say it so many times, we're just going to keep saying it. Every time you eat, you need to have a protein and complex carbohydrates, raw ingredients for your bodies to make that serotonin. And you need good cellular nutrition. This is a key to your success. You're getting that right now. That AM and PM packet of multivitamin minerals are key to your cellular ability to make what the cells need to make. And then last but not at all least, pleasure. Anything that brings you healthy pleasures will increase your body's serotonin and beta endorphin. And the easiest thing to look at it are your 5 senses, how you experience pleasure through visual pleasures or auditory pleasures. And I know that you're limiting right now during the 5-day carb cleanse some of the gustatory or taste pleasures. But what I want to really encourage you is really start tasting more, a bigger variety of vegetables, because your taste will become more acute, more sensitive, and you will start tasting the sweetness in a bell pepper, or definitely the sweetness in a cherry tomato. You'll start tasting a lot more. So now's the time to really I always say to people, when you're doing the 5-day carb cleanse, one of your jobs is to become like a pleasure-seeking missile. You want to really seek as much pleasure as possible, and that will help you transition to making your own beta endorphin and serotonins. It'll really help. Yeah.
You're making me hungry talking about all these vegetables.
I know.
Like, wow. Well, you know, I was just thinking about all these lists, Deb, and what I know is that everything we're talking about kind of goes against the mass consciousness, what everybody else is kind of doing. So that's one of the reasons we really encourage people to have a buddy. To have a buddy that you can set goals with, that you can be held accountable, and that always helps to actually have a goal and tell someone so that you kind of know, all right, I've said that, I'm more likely to achieve that. And really think about all these things that we've spoken about, and which perhaps one of them, which one, it might be sleep, it might be just going to bed 15 minutes earlier now that you've got an understanding of the role sleep plays in the balance of your life. And just move forward in baby steps is what I always recommend, knowing that this is a significant change for a lot of people. And perhaps listen to this again, because there's so much juicy information here for you to understand this balance in brain and body chemistry. And know that day three is often the hardest, often called hump day, and you'll feel energized after day three. And reflect on all these lifestyle factors that we've talked about. And we're excited that our next session will actually be the session that we carry you forward into this lifelong, low-glycemic lifestyle. And we get to talk about the elements of that lifestyle. And you'll be working, hopefully, with your buddy again on setting those lifestyle goals. Thank you for all that great information today, Deb. It was just really, really good.
This is one of our favorite sessions, isn't it, Karen? We love talking about this.
We have to resist talking about too much of the science.
Right.
So we don't overwhelm you, but we also love to give you resources if you want to go deeper into it. We'll have all of those for you in the ebook.
So carry on. Your body is transforming right as you're listening, and we're thrilled for you, and we'll talk to you again in the next session.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.